The respondent will be Professor Paul Roram of Princeton Theological Seminary and a confessional Lutheran.
Thank you, Uwe. And on behalf of the speakers and respondents and all of us, I want to thank you, too, for the idea of this conference in the first place and for all the work that has gone into bringing it about. Father Lockwood is right about several things, and yet. At this point in the program, I should be brief so that we can get on to our discussion and to wrap things up with Bob Benny. And yet, 2 points. First, the human, what is a human being, is indeed a key question for Christians today, especially regarding the public realm, the left-hand kingdom, where Christians, especially Lutherans, need to be more active and more visibly active. And yet, a new discussion on anthropology, as he puts it, should not be contrasted with the old standards, as he said, of justification, works, and the law, and especially not regarding dialogues of Lutherans and Roman Catholics. By the human, he may mean issues of medical ethics, such as abortion and euthanasia and stem cell research, but I would argue that the Lutheran-Roman Catholic dialogues on justification, for example, is not settled and is yet incomplete exactly at the point of the human, theologically speaking. The joint declaration on the doctrine of justification, contrary to many impressions, does not express theological agreement on the key question of the justified human, namely the sticking point of simul justus et peccator, at the same time righteous and sinner, and as Jim Volz reminded us, totally righteous and totally a sinner. On this anthropological side of the old standard of justification, Roman Catholic and Lutheran dialogues have not progressed much beyond the 16th century, the Colloquy of Regensburg, for example, nor on the essential question of how the doctrine of justification relates to other theological questions, especially in ecclesiology, ministry, and liturgical theology. So, yes, we should tackle the question of the human and the particular questions indicated by Father Lockwood's paper, yet not under the illusion that the old standards of justification have been settled, indeed exactly at the point of the human as freely justified and yet captive to sin. Second point, Professor Lockwood is also right about the promise of grassroots dialogues, local action, the meeting of individuals, and yet the example of Catholics and evangelicals together can also alert us to the complexity of any such alliances relative to any packaging of social issues and especially political parties. Here I want to quote or allude to Peter Berger, the essay that was mentioned by Uwe last evening in the current issue of Lutheran Quarterly. And I'll wear our Lutheran Quarterly hat for a moment or in the current issue with our logo, which was happily borrowed for the Vespers program last evening. We have this essay by Peter Berger, which was first a speech here in St. Louis and in the Council, the Conference of Bishops of the ELCA. And he was and is in this essay critical of both Missouri and the ELCA. Also, shamelessly wearing the promotional hat of Lutheran Quarterly, I hope that some of you have noticed the brochure, and if any of you are interested in subscribing to Lutheran Quarterly, which would begin with the next issue, I have ample numbers of copies of this current autumn issue, and I would personally give you one, in addition to the ones you'd receive by subscribing, if you would want to, and show me and hand this form to me today. Berger uses the crude categories of orthodox and progressive to designate our social division, as also seen in our two main political parties. He warns Lutherans against wholesale identification with either package of positions. And indeed, I have this very year myself been dismayed to see both over-identifications before my own eyes, as one large gathering of Lutherans gave me what Berger called the, quote, the appearance of a fully owned subsidiary of the left wing of the Democratic Party. And another large gathering of Lutherans cheered the speaker's assertion that any criticism of the Republican president's policies could only stem from an anti-Christian bias. The Lutheran witness is not the way of any corporate official identification with a package of issues on either side of the aisle, But the responsibility of Christians in what Chuck Aaron called their active righteousness in the world for the neighbor, in their daily callings, in farming or business or the arts, to care about this world as God's world, as God's first gift, as we just heard, and its well-being and its future, including in the political order. And when we care enough to look closely, we may engage one by one the issues that come up and the candidates themselves, instead of accepting any bundling or packaging presented by the culture or by the parties. And on this point, I want to close with appreciation for Father Lockwood's tradition. For Roman Catholics may have alliances with evangelicals on some of the so-called orthodox issues today, such as medical ethics, but also on capital punishment or war and peace, including the war in Iraq, the Roman position resonates with the other side of the aisle. So I'll stop here, eager for the discussion, but also for Bob Benny's reflections, especially since he has been, for me, so clear and helpful on this last point about not over-identifying with any particular political package. Thank you very much.